And welcome back to Eco Talk. I'm Betsy Rosenberg. You're listening to Eco Talk. And for this segment, we're going to introduce you to someone who may not yet be a household name, but hopefully he will be known in the House of Representatives after we hope he can unseat Richard Pombo in November. Talking about Jerry McNerney, he's a candidate for California's 11th Congressional District. He's a renewable energy expert. He has carved out a career in making energy from wind. So he's quite the green guy, and he's going to need a lot of extra power to unseat Pombo. He is a 7-term incumbent. So thanks for joining us, and thanks for running.
Well, it's my pleasure to do so, Betsy.
And not just because you're not Richard Pombo, but that's a good starting point.
Well, I have a lot to do in the Congress, and I'm very anxious to get started.
Now, what's your background for those who don't know? I just mentioned wind energy, but have you held political office before? And if not, what prompted you to get involved in this?
Well, no, I haven't held office before. I was busy doing consulting in wind energy and renewable energy in 2004. My son, who joined the service because of 9/11, called me. There was no Democrat on the absentee ballot running against Richard Pombo, and he called me to ask me to run. He wrote my name in as a write-in candidate and said, "Dad, I want you to stand up for your country like I am." And so, of course, I've been concerned about what was happening in the country and about Richard Pombo's anti-environmental positions, and it was a great opportunity to get involved and do what I could.
So Pombo inspired you to run because of all the damage he's causing, not just in the environment, but let's just start there since this is Eco Talk.
Yes.
Now, this is someone who advocates weakening the Endangered Species Act. Tell us about that, and has that been acted on yet?
Well, he spent his 14-year career focus has been to do away with the Endangered Species Act. He's tried various ways to do that, but before now, he hasn't been in quite as powerful position. But right now he's the chairman of the House Resources Committee, so he can push things through the Congress. He's pushed a bill through in 2006 which would do away with habitat protection and would cause the Department of Fish and Wildlife to pay landowners the value of property that was impacted by endangered species protections.
He's also...
So this would effectively destroy the bill. It would effectively eviscerate the bill, and he got it through the House of Representatives, but the Senate will not act on this bill, at least not in 2006, because they're afraid it will be Pomboized. Whatever they do, he will have a say on it in the conference committee, and it could come out very badly.
And another issue he's trying to throw his weight around with is ANWR. He's a proponent of drilling, not surprisingly.
Oh, he's been a strong proponent of drilling in ANWR, and he has definite links to the oil and gas industry. That's his biggest source of contributions.
Not to mention Jack Abramoff.
Well, that's true. That Jack Abramoff's also involved in this, but Pombo's biggest contributors are the oil and gas companies. He's also advocating drilling off the coast of California, so he definitely wants to go and get all that oil out of there and doesn't care what happens in the meanwhile.
He also wants to fiddle with mining laws that have been in place for a while.
Well, that's right.
Trying to open up public
land. The issue is a little bit more complicated, but he wants to cause land to be sold cheaply so that the mining and drilling interests can take over.
Mm. Now, we had Pete McCloskey on back last spring when he was running against Pombo. And, of course, McCloskey, a Republican, but also, you know, the father of, I think it was the Clean Air or Water Act and Endangered Species Act. So that was a really personal thing for him. He sort of came out of semi-retirement to challenge Pombo, but he lost. People said he never really had a chance because he was older and just for lots of reasons. But Pombo is, we learned then, a really strong, you know, opponent. You have a background in math as well as wind energy. What are the odds that you're going to unseat this guy?
Well, our odds are much better. Pete was running in a primary, the Republican primary, and so a lot of the people that are more conservative and right-wing would necessarily stay in line with Pombo. But now we're moving into the general election. Pete actually got 33% of the Republican vote in the primary, and the other Republican challenger got another 6 or 7%. So Richard Pombo only got 61 or 2% in the primary. Now, on the Democratic side, we believe the Democrats will hold together and support me, and if we can pick up a significant number of those McCloskey and Bonino votes, we will definitely win this election.
Now
but we also have a lot of help. The grassroots are on fire in this race. It's a tremendous thing to come out here and see 1 to 200 people walking precincts with us on the weekends and making face-to-face contact. That a lot of it is the environmental passion. I mean, if if you want to see the earth preserved, if you care about the kind of land we pass on to the next generation, then by gosh, we need your help. And this is a good race. It's the most competitive race in the state of California, and it's ground zero for taking back the House of Representatives. So there's all kinds of reasons, and there's all kinds of passion.
And not the least of which is the climate crisis you mentioned on fire and heat and global warming is critical, and whoever is in Congress is going to have some say in how we deal or don't deal with this looming, as Al Gore would say, planetary emergency.
Boy, and we can move forward very smartly to address this problem by making our automobiles more efficient, and by instead of drilling for new energy, we can create new energy through wind, solar, through biofuels. We have a lot of opportunity. And right now, Betsy, we're spending $800 million a day for oil coming from overseas. Just think of how many jobs we could create with that if we found new sources of energy here in our own country.
Not to mention how many spent on a war overseas in the same region where the oil is, coincidence or not.
Well, that's right. That $800 million is also funding the other side of the war on terror. In other words, we're funding people that want to harm us through oil purchases.
Every
and
time
it's our
we
patriotic duty.
Pay through the hose. That's right.
And not only the environment, but national security and the economy, it's all tied together.
Do you think Americans are starting to connect the dots there? I mean, you know, after 9/11, we all saw, you know, usually the big gas-guzzling vehicles, you know, with you know, God bless America, and, you know, the patriotic slogans on the bumper stickers. There's obviously a lot of disconnect, a lot of irony there. Is that more clear this many years later, 4 years later?
Oh, yes, without a doubt. Al Gore has done a lot with his Inconvenient Truth movie, and people are beginning to be aware. I mean, Hurricane Katrina was an eye-opener, and the fact that the Arctic ice sheet is melting, and there's so many changes that are becoming more obvious that global warming is really encroaching upon us, and we need to move smartly. But, of course, global warming is only one of the environmental issues that we're facing. We need good stewardship of the Earth. It's in our hands, and by gosh, we have the resources and the intelligence and the power to do it. Let's become leaders in this field.
Have you ever met Richard Pombo in person?
Oh, yes.
And what's he like? And how old is he? He's a seven-term incumbent. He must have started when he was 20 or whatever the legal age is to enter.
Well, he started when he was, I think, 30 or 29. He's 45 now. And he's a nice enough gentleman in person. It's just that his policies are so off base that I felt absolutely compelled to get in here and do everything I can to help win this seat.
And what will change in your district, which represents largely agricultural part of California, San Joaquin Valley, that area, in terms of the environment, specifically?
Well, I can tell you, Betsy, I have a vision that we create the Silicon Valley of new energy technology, creating biofuels, taking advantage of our deepwater port, taking advantage of our agricultural assets and the solar and wind resources. I think we can create thousands of jobs here in our district. A lot of people now have to commute from the Central Valley to the Bay Area. We can create most of those jobs in the valley so that we don't have the congested highways. We can clean up the air quality. There's so much that we can do, and I'm so excited about it. I just can't wait to get in there and get started.
I think we have a couple of minutes left, and tell your story about how you were on your way to actually entering the oil industry in Texas when you took a left turn. What happened?
Well, I had a job interview with an oil company in Port Arthur, Texas. I got there at about midnight. I got out of the plane, and I noticed there was a film in the air, and I could smell it, I could feel it, I could taste it. It was an oil film, and even though the job represented a big salary and benefits, I would have been set for my whole life, I just felt like I had to do something that was more, that wasn't as damaging to the earth, and a year or so later, I got an offer to a job out of the blue to work in wind energy, and boy, I jumped at it. It was a great opportunity. It's been a great field to work in.
And how long ago was that?
That was about mid-1970s. So
wow. Well, we're still debating the benefits of wind energy and some of the negatives. Mostly it blocks people's view, and they don't like those wind turbines on the coast in Massachusetts, even though some of those folks are environmentalists. What's the state of that technology, and is it a superior source of renewable energy or just one of many we need to invest in a much bigger way quickly?
Well, we need to invest in many. I think solar is coming up very quickly. The great thing about wind is that it's very economic. We can produce wind power, depending on the resource, for about 4 to 5 cents a kilowatt hour, making it competitive with the subsidized forms of power that we're already paying. and I'm very bullish about what we can do with that.
What needs to happen to make that happen? Because it seems like we're not quite there yet.
Well, it's already happening, Betsy. It's just we're growing as fast as any. We're the fastest growing form of new energy out there right now, and the government, the American government, is behind the European governments by about a generation because they've had consistent policies, whereas our government has very erratic policies that discourages investors. So that's really what we need to do is just make sure that the policies are consistent and the investors see the opportunity.
And we just have about a minute left, but is location key where you put those wind farms?
Oh, yes. Many, many locations don't work. For example, unfortunately, the southern, southeastern part of the country is not a very good wind resource, but the upper Midwest near the Dakotas have as much wind resource as we could possibly need in this whole country. So we need to develop electrical infrastructure. We could supply wind power for the whole country.
Also, don't do what we did in the Bay Area. They built a wind farm in the path of birds, and that was a big controversy. Don't
want to
kill the birds to save the environment.
Not put windmills where they're going to kill birds.
Altamont Pass is what I'm talking about. Jerry McNerney, thank you so much. Good luck.
You're
going to need
it.
Go ahead quickly, yes.
Okay, it's www.jerrymcnerney.org. MCNERNEY.org. Thank you, Betsy.
Thank you, and good luck again. And our website is www.ecotalk.net. When we come back, you'll meet our resident ecomedian, a funny guy who also knows a few things about ecology.